Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fanatics Fest. Place is insane. You never know who you're going to run into. Mr. Volpe before, and then we see my old friend Pat Leonard, who we used to work together at SNY, currently covers the Giants for the New York Daily News, also does Talkin' Ball podcast on the Believe Network as well. Just had Jackson Dart on the other day, BT.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So let's get into some Giants here. We have not talked about them yet, Pat. By the way, how you doing? All right?
Great, Sal. Yeah, no, great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Pat, I see Pat. He's like, oh, yeah, what's going on? Do you see my father all over there? Whatever. He's like, hey, I'm married into a Volpe family. I'm like, what? Mr. Volpe's here? Then we talk to him. Then we get Pat on, who is married into the Volpe family. All right, where are we at with this Giants team? Do you think they're going to be as good as they think they're going to be this year?
I do not. I do like some of the talent they've added, though. Abdul Carter looks like he could be the real deal. I think their pass rush could be ferocious. The question is, every year, offensive line, and can they score enough points, Sal and BT, to have a lead in the fourth quarter so these guys can get after the quarterback? Because if they can't score on offense, which is supposed to be Brian Daboll's baby, then they're not going to be able to unleash Burns, Thibodeau, and Carr.
Yeah, you're right. It's a great point. It's something that's really afflicted them for a while. You know, you're down 13-3, 20-6, 24-10. Not that you completely abandoned the run, you know, but there's certain things you can't do defensively when you're trailing from an offensive perspective, and obviously when the other team is up big, they're going to probably bleed the clock, run the ball, so you can't get after the quarterback. I do believe that this defense has a chance to be top 10 in the NFL. I do. Now, primarily driven by the boys up front, and that's got to be their identity. I think the offense will be better. I don't think it will be good enough for that to become the identity. Fair statement or no?
Fair statement, especially because the defense didn't turn the ball over at all last year, and they made a huge emphasis of that. Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator, they have the turnover chest like a pirate where they put the football in there after every interception or fumble, even during a practice against Russell Wilson in the offense. So, yes, you do need the defense to go on the offensive, especially when you get Paulson Adebo, Javon Holland, and these pass rushers. But I won't put it on the defense entirely. Like, really, it is about scoring. In the modern NFL, it's not going to be perfect. Like, you know, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, they're not a perfect team.
Yeah.
But they just finished with 40 points. So their defense or offense both make mistakes. Lamar turns the ball over. But in the end, you're in the playoffs because you score a lot of points. It's just how the NFL is.
Yeah, and the Giants have made it seem impossible to score points consistently. Do you think that that changes Russell Wilson in the Daboll offense? Remember, Daboll, obviously, you know, Daboll's an offensive guy.
Yeah.
We've seen a putrid offense since he's been here. Year four, they finally got a quote-unquote real quarterback. I'm not as high on him as everybody else, but he can throw the ball down the field. They do have some weapons. Daniel Jones, to me, was the biggest culprit for years, sticking with him, maybe their biggest mistake. Do you think we finally see Daboll's offense flourish with a new quarterback?
That's a great question, Sal, because I think with Russell Wilson, what you want to do is run game and play action. That's what the Steelers did to succeed with him early on when he jumped in for Justin Fields last year. But Daboll's offense is more shotgun, drop back pass, like you said, trying to push the ball down the field. Wilson's shortcoming, primarily later in his career, he's been on four teams the last 5 years now, has been taking unnecessary sacks. He's not as mobile as he used to be. Can't use his legs the same way. So again, it comes back to that pass protection and running game protecting him. If they can protect him, whether it's with the run game or with that pass pro with the offensive line, I think you're going to see Malik Nabers flourish. I think you're going to see Wilson turn loose those deep balls. Maybe Jalen Hyatt gets into the mix finally.
That'd be nice.
The guy who they underutilized severely last year. Yeah. It's just going to come down to, can you buy that time? Because if it's just drop back pass, drop back pass, drop back pass, mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's not going to be their quarterback very long.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, you wouldn't want to put Dart in that. And we'll get to Jackson Dart more extended in a moment. But you wouldn't want to put a young quarterback there either, just get hit left and right. Okay, so bigger picture, aside, just for a second, aside from the football stuff with Russell Wilson, can he score schematics? Listen, let's face it. His quotes are good. He lays it on thick. I think it's a combination of a little corny, you know, laying it. I'm trying to be nice because I think he's a good guy. A little contrived, you know, a little sensationalized. That's the outside looking in, which doesn't mean anything for the locker room. Is the locker room buying it?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's a great point by you because I'm as skeptical, or I roll my eyes the same way as you do. Well, you say, like, wait, if he's at the front of the room talking, how do people not chuckle to themselves? Did he really just say that?
Yes.
It feels hokey. It feels...
feels fake.
Not genuine. It feels fake. But it's interesting because there was such a huge leadership void with this team. No one wants to mention the name Saquon anymore. Mm. But with Saquon and McKinney gone, no one was able to take that. Like, Dexter Lawrence, he's a lead-by-example guy. He's not a rah-rah... give a speech to the locker room guy. He tried to put it on his shoulders last year. He couldn't handle it all.
Not natural form.
Yeah, you more want him to lead your defense and not your team.
Mm-hmm.
So Wilson has stepped into that void, and the Giants have embraced him being that guy.
Good.
I think it's going to go this way. If you get results, it's going to look great.
Yes.
The second it's not happening,
no, we're going to crush him. We're going
to
crush him.
But to your point, I think the locker room will say at that point, all right, we'll buy in when it's working.
Yeah.
When it's not clicking, we're going to need to see something else and hear something else.
And we'll find out probably early on with that. All right, back to the defense part, because I know that everybody's expecting the Giants' identity to be their defense. A part of that is Kayvon Thibodeau, who I think has been a disappointment since where they took him. We talked about that. We got some flack for that. But Kayvon Thibodeau, to me, has not had his impact on this Giants' defense as of yet. You think he'll take a step forward this year? Are you okay with where he's been? What are your thoughts on Kayvon Thibodeau?
All of the criticism of him not being where he needs to be is fair. I think he hears all of it as part of the issue. I think he has to stop listening to it, frankly. And I do like how he's attacked the offseason. He was never in bad shape, so don't get me wrong. But he looks ripped, cut. He's been in the gym. Something's different about him. He's attacking this much differently. I think he sees, you don't need to tell it to him, we just drafted another pass rusher over top of you after signing or trading for a pass rusher and giving Brian Burns a massive contract over top of you. The thing that went unnoticed or undiscussed there was it wasn't just pairing Burns with Thibodeau. It was we drafted a guy number 5 to be a killer pass rusher, and he's not. Mm-hmm. We need to go get one.
Yeah.
And now we need to go get another one. So here's the thing. Essentially a contract year, so to speak, about what it's going to mean for him on this team. He looks like he's attacking it like it's that. Now, you need to see him finish, though. Even he said to us the other day after practice, I watched my film over the offseason. I had about 5 would-be sacks that I just didn't finish. Everything was great. I didn't bring the quarterback down. Easy to talk about. Got to do it.
Is it a strength thing? Is it a leverage thing? Is it an IQ thing? Is it something else? Why didn't he finish those plays?
Well, for me, again, less discussed than the sacks, his run defense regressed from his rookie year. When he wasn't getting the sacks his rookie year, he was still setting the edge. He wasn't a weak point in the run game.
Yeah.
Last year, you heard everybody talking about the corners can't tackle. Their D-line coach, Dre Patterson, the corners can't tackle. Guess what, Dre? The D-line is not playing well enough against the run when you're not stopping the run. The reason their guys are coming around the edge after your number one corner, Deontay Banks, at full speed is because Thibodeau's not there to stop it. Brian Burns got that contract. I love Brian Burns. Love him for the team. Love everything about him.
Good player.
He's never a great run defender.
Yep.
So again, it has to start there because Dexter Lawrence can't do all that himself.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop the run last year. And then as far as the finishing element, why isn't he doing it? Honestly, I think Kayvon needs to be more of a power guy. He's not Brian Burns who can bend like Spider-Man underneath the tackle and go get him. You've got to use that combination of leverage, strength, and the moves to get there. He's that type of athlete.
That's a great description. Okay, so they let some really useful, purposeful players walk out the door. That's old news. We know who they are. We just mentioned Thibodeau, good, not what he should be. Evan Neal, disaster. But there's also some good parts with Shane and Dable, for sure. Were you surprised they were brought back? And do you feel like they've got a long runway to get this going with a reset?
That's a great question. Yes, I was stunned that the coach was back. I was mildly surprised the GM was back, because I feel like the GM has a longer runway there than the coach.
Yep.
I think they have to start fast this season for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is I think different people are being set up to take the blame lower on the totem pole. Like the DC, Shane Bowen, is going to be the first one that you start hearing the defense isn't good enough, they start losing games. Then it's going to be the coach. I think the GM's protected. I think Dable benefits from having been the guy who put his finger on the pulse of Jackson Dart's our quarterback, Jackson Dart's our guy. If they show some semblance of progress, guys, in this season, then you have to give him that extra year to see through the young QB who's taking the reins.
I agree.
Yeah.
But if it all comes apart early on and they start 1-4, 0-5 again, then I think nothing's going to save them. But frankly, I'll say this, guys, I've said this many times, I can't look at you in the eyes and tell you what gets someone fired at the Giants anymore after last season didn't get them fired. I don't want people to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
This is the New York Giants.
Yeah, but do you think
you have a high standard or not?
Strong statement. I'm with you. I think many of us feel that. They have not felt like the Giants in a long time. I think, Pat, a lot of that is that John Mara is so aware of what's being said about the Giants the last decade or so, that they've almost become the Jets in terms of instability and just, GM, coach, whatever. And they were always known for consistency, that he's almost gone too far the other way. You know what I mean?
Also, maybe yes. the biggest issue is because they stuck with Daniel Jones, and that's a marathon, no?
Right.
Like, Daniel Jones was the biggest reason why this regime has failed so far, and they haven't picked their own guy until Dart, who we'll get to in a second. So how much blame does Mara hold himself for the failures of this regime due to forcing Jones on him?
John feels like they screwed up Daniel Jones by, ripping up coaching staffs and giving him new offenses all the time and new offensive coordinators. And he looks, to your point, he's reacting to firing three guys in a row after 2 years. So he's saying, well, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? So now, because Shane came in, and Shane's benefiting also from coming off the heels of Gettleman, where they were in the Stone Age, essentially, of how they were operating. Now Shane is revamping a lot of the things they've done internally. Do I think he's done a great job as a GM? No, but there is a process behind every decision he makes. Like when they draft a player, they sign a guy, he can go back into John's office and say, here was A to Z of how it happened. You saw it on the board. Here's how we graded them. Here's who was out there in the Midwest scouting event against Iowa in November. And so John likes that and feels like, if the results come, that the process looks right to him compared to what they've overseen in the past, and he wants to see it through.
BT, it's Al on the Fan Talk with Daily News. Pat Leonard, also Talking Ball podcast on the Believe Network, covering the Giants. You just had Jackson Dart on. To me, it was, okay, they need to get a franchise quarterback, a young quarterback, at least pick one, and we'll see what they turn into, and then you could evaluate this regime. And then once you do that, now they're probably going to get more than just this year. Do you think we'll see Jackson Dart on the field at all this year?
Yes. I think, is it ideal for him not to play in the theory of develop? You got Mahomes, played the one game, and then essentially sat that first year. This is not Patrick Mahomes. This is not the Chiefs. You can't treat it like that. I think Dable loves Jackson Dart. I know Dable loves Jackson Dart. And I think if Wilson fails early, they're going to need mobility at the quarterback position. So as long as Dart shows that he can handle the offense, I think there's no reason why he wouldn't be in. So you look at successful season, Russ is your quarterback. Or even if Dart's not ready, you have Winston maybe there to back up if he's still on the team. But if a lack of pass protection and the offense not functioning with Wilson's skill set is the issue, Dart hopefully resolves that.
Yeah.
He can move. Even, it sounds subtle, but Daniel Jones, if he saw a pass rush coming, he was so shell-shocked. It was like the play was over, and then he would force a bad throw. Dart, right now, and you see it in his college tape, he will do the subtle step through, stays in the pocket, still delivers. That's something the Giants haven't had.
Yeah. So he's an actual quarterback all around.
Yeah, you know, so, and he can still run. So
Yeah.
I think it's there. I think it's there, and I do think he will get on the field. But again, unfortunately for Giants fans, I think that's because early on, with the schedule they have, it's going to be hard sledding.
Now, I don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but I love Winston, right? And what I just said about Russell Wilson being a little sensationalized, his messaging, a little corny, whatever. I think Winston's the complete antithesis. I believe he's the real deal. He's a dog. Guys love him. He's a leader. But if you want to get Jackson Dart meaningful reps, don't you maybe have to cut Jameis Winston at some point?
I agree. I don't see a place for him on the team. Like, let me say this. If I were the coach, Jameis would start week one.
Wow.
I wouldn't have even signed Russ.
Huh?
Like, if I knew I was drafting the quarterback.
Yeah. Right, I don't think sounds nuts, by the way. I'm kind of with you. Keep going. Yeah.
Now it does, but at the time, I agree with you.
Players love playing for him. Like, Benny Fowler, who won a Super Bowl with the Broncos, who played with Jameis in New Orleans, tells me, like, he's been in the rooms with him. He's been on the field with him. Guys love him. They want to play with him. He's a player's player. He delivers. He'll tell you before the snap without knowing the coverage, I'm coming to you. Like, guys love him, you know? And I think that with the Giants, they look at it as they needed that reinforcement and security of Wilson and Winston because they didn't know how the draft was going to go. Now you have some obvious teams like the Saints out there who could very much use a Jameis Winston. Can you trade him, or do they know you're going to get rid of him so you have to cut him? But I agree with you. Like, I think if Dart shows that he's ready, there's no place for Jameis Winston on the team. If Russ is being handed the job, and this is the one thing I would say.
Yeah.
I disagree with handing Russ the job. But I think the way they're looking at it is from the leadership component standpoint, they need to funnel the team behind one guy and one vision.
Okay.
So that's why they're doing it, but I don't agree with that.
Okay, so back to Dart for a moment and how they got there. Now, this doesn't matter. It's over, but I am curious. They are lauded for their draft. Abdul Carter, stud. You know, you got the quarterback.
Giants are a great team on paper.
Yeah, right? Really. Hey, they drafted well last year, too. I mean, it didn't show up on the field in the win-loss record.
Wins.
But, hey, what a draft that was from Shane and everybody.
But how they got to Jackson Dart is very interesting. Now, he might eventually be the guy, and they profess that they're very happy, and they might grow to love him as their quarterback. But they flirted with Rodgers. They obviously signed Wilson. They tried to trade last second with Cam for the Browns for Cam Ward.
Stafford.
Matthew Stafford was early in the offseason. So it doesn't matter if he's the right pick down the road, but is it fair to say that maybe they didn't love Jackson Dart as some people think when he may have been choice number 5 or 6?
Well, Shane and some other people in the building, Brandon Brown, assistant GM, like, there are a lot of people involved in this evaluation. They loved Shedeur Sanders. And what ended up happening is through the process, when Daboll got involved after the season, Daboll loved Dart. And so everybody went back to their evaluations. Listen, if you look at the fall, look at how many times they went to a Colorado game or practice. And then Shane's like, oh, yeah, right after Thanksgiving, we snuck in a trip to the Egg Bowl to see Dart. So Dart played one time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that tells you all you need to know. Now, the process goes through April. They did get there, and Daboll, of course, is paid to be the offense, the quarterback guy. The worst look they have going right now, and again, I like Dart. I think he's going to be good. Shane twice has been heard saying, once on Kay Adams' podcast and once internally, he has been heard saying, essentially, it's Daboll's pick.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
He traded up for this guy,
yep.
Gave up all these assets, took all the flowers on draft night that it was a great move, but it's your guy.
Yep.
This is on you.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I was talking about who's getting set up for what. It's a very dicey, like, interesting situation, and frankly, it's a bad look to have your general manager not saying, I love him, Jackson was our guy the whole way, but I guess in Joe's defense, he's not lying.
At least they have an easy schedule. They can get out of the chutes pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah,
huh?
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so before you leave us here, Pat, give us a bold prediction here.
Come on, Patty.
You think they're going to be good? You think Dable gets fired? Where are we at with the prediction for the Giants going into the year?
I predicted them in the Daily News when the schedule came out to win 3 games again.
Oh, jeez.
Well, there's no way he survives that.
No way.
No. So the coach doesn't survive. Like I said, I think the GM still could survive. One thing I didn't mention earlier about, not to get too in the weeds, I think financially the coach and GM contracts is a factor too. Like, they want to see out the contracts. They're tired of paying multiple coaches and GMs at once. They're bringing on new minority owners. They don't want to say, buy 10% of our stake. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're hiring somebody else. We got $5 million on the books.
Yeah.
But I just look at their schedule, and I feel like it's all going to factor into how they start in those first 3 weeks. You get a good win in those first couple games in division, everybody feels differently, everything changes. I just don't have confidence in the offense. If I felt like they could score, then I could feel like the defense would get their feet under them and you'd have something. But I don't believe in their game management, and I don't believe in their offense, and I don't believe ultimately in how the organization is being run right now.
I know we got to bounce, and those are strong statements. I think a lot of people agree with you. If I had to say, hey, Pat, better chance that Dable is fired mid-season, okay, or coaching week one of the 2026 season? What's your answer?
Fired mid-season. And I think that Joe Shane's very good at, you know, managing expectations. So I still wouldn't rule out him having a new coach next year. You know, Kevin Stefanski's the guy I'm eyeing right now. Poor guy's got 4 darn quarterbacks in Cleveland. Get him out of there.
All right, Pat, we appreciate the time. Check him out, Pat Leonard, Daily News, of course, covering the Giants, Talking Ball podcast on the Believe Network. Anything else?
No, yeah, it was just a great interview with Jackson Dart here from Fanatics Fest yesterday. Did 15 minutes with him. He gave some good insight about how Dable has basically been in his hip pocket at practices, like one-on-one feedback back and forth. Because that's really the development that's happening now. It's Dable and Dart, one-on-one.
Right. We got a small fraternity with the BT and Sal show. Like, you got to fit for us to have you on. One interview, Pat Leonard fits.
There you go.
Let's go. Join us during the season.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Nice, man.
All right, Pat, thank you very much. BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get back to your calls on the baseball stuff. 888-808-1019, the number to call, live at the Javits Center at Fanatics Fest. It is a pleasure to be joined by the great, legendary Oral Hershiser. Now, some, of course, may remember just the 1988 season, but we here in New York, BT, I like to focus on the 1999 season with the Mets. And I got to say this. I used to go to the games. This is a true story. I'd go to the games as a nut job. And I would yell out, you know, because I was a big fan of yours, I love Oral.
Yeah, wait a minute.
No, that's what I would yell out to support you. Anyway, welcome aboard.
There's kids listening.
Hey, listen. This guy's a wild card. Look out for him, Oral.
He's a wild card?
Wild card,
can
buddy.
I sit on your side?
Yeah, you could. That's
yeah,
the good
me,
side.
Let me come over there.
You killed us with the 88 team, but oof. My God, that is – even as a young fan, like that is one of the seasons still I look at you like, God – legendary.
You're 19. So nice.
Well, it's true. I mean, I'm a Met fan, but yeah. Still, I mean, that's an all-time great season.
And I'm a fan of that Met team. You know, those were some of the greatest players that I ever played against. You know, talking about the Keith Hernandezes and the Gary Carters and the Daryl Strawberries and Wally Backlund and all of them, and then Dwight Gooden, the years that he's had through those times. Those were some amazing Met teams. You know, when I played against or played with guys that I played against before, those are the kind of guys you want to be with in the locker room because you respect the ability and the competitiveness when they were on the opposing side, and now they're in your locker room. The number one guy I can remember is Matt Williams from the San Francisco Giants,
third baseman.
We both became Cleveland Indians at the time, now the Cleveland Guardians, and the Indians / Guardians put us next to each other in spring training on purpose.
They did.
Because they didn't want any controversy of these two guys that fought each other. But it had been the same way when I was with Straw.
Yeah.
I was with Straw as a Dodger. Him and Cal Daniels came over there, guys I went toe-to-toe with. But all of a sudden, you're teammates.
And you got to figure it out like big boys, no doubt.
Yeah.
So I think you're a perfect person to ask this of. A mound visit today, when the manager comes out, what's said versus maybe where they're thinking about taking the pitcher out, somebody with your equity versus back then a mound visit. How it's got to be so different. Has to be.
Well, it was definitely different. Tommy Lasorda never really came out and didn't take you out of the game. So you might have had an argument if you were trying to stay in the game with Tommy. I don't think we're going to see a lot of arguments on the mound. The only one on the staff of the Dodgers might do it, and we've seen it at times, is Clayton Kershaw because of the resume. He can then say something back to Dave Roberts. But the mound visit is usually, if it's the pitching coach, it's usually because the pitcher's in trouble, right?
Yep.
He's also maybe thrown too many pitches that inning, and he probably needs a little bit of a rest. So he's up to the 22, 24, 26 pitches, and the pitching coach is going out to try and separate that workload from the next workload when they leave him in the game, you know, because if he's going to go to 30 pitches or so. But as far as, like, the vernacular that's used or the pretty words that are used, it was a little different probably back in the day.
Do you think the pitch clock, talk about trying to get a pause and get a little respite out there when the pitching coach comes out. You know, one of the things, and there's not enough data necessarily to prove this yet, but it's, you know, throw the ball, catch it, throw the ball. You can't really gather yourself. And does that have a real adverse effect? You believe that?
Yeah, I really do. I really believe it is. I think that we are playing in a different generation. What they're expected to do and what we did are completely different, but it's not about ability, it's about culture. You know, there's 10 pitchers on a staff in my day, back in the 80s and the 90s. Now there's 13 or 14 at times. Well, you can divide up the workload in a different way, and you can ask the athletes, say, we need 100% effort every pitch, compared to my day, we need 7 innings.
Yeah.
You know, and 125 pitches.
Yep.
Well, you can't go 100% all out and throw 125 pitches and be at 100%, and you're going to get hurt. And every amount of effort, it raises the risk quotient. And when you throw a pitch, everyone is not just flowing out of your body like a great athlete. I mean, you're making adjustments all the time. You're landing improperly. Your leg kick and your hip turn aren't the same. And all of a sudden, yes, you're a big leaguer, and you just threw a big league pitch, and it was 95, and it had great movement. But the stress on your body to make that ball do that with almost, you know, okay mechanics, but they're world class. It's a different kind of stress.
So how come you were – how many complete games did you have in 1988?
15.
Wow.
And you were a bulldog. I mean,
it was part of the culture, too.
Okay.
But, yeah.
But do you think, like, these guys are getting hurt left and right? Yeah. Why is that the case? But you had guys like yourself that could go out there and throw 15 complete games and win a Cy Young.
Yeah.
And dominate in postseason.
I think baseball has a problem, and I think baseball is addressing it as far as the injuries to pitchers. And I think it is coming down to so many things are measured. And then once they're measured, you know exactly when you're really good on your your spin rate, you know your velocity, you know your mechanics, you know your release point, you know when I did this finger pressure, the ball did this, and they told me that's the best slider I've ever thrown. Now you have athletes all trying to hit those measurements, including in practice.
Yeah.
And now, practice for me was about building habits and building rhythm. It wasn't about performing. And so I think trying to perform in practice, I think trying to perform in the minor leagues, I think trying to perform for the draft pick and for the scouts, that's a lot of wear and tear to get to these numbers, to get recognized, to get a job, to get a promotion, to get to the big leagues, to be the best. That's five layers of be at your best 100% of the time.
Wow. My son's 10 years old. They have radars and perfect game. We talk. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely insane.
You need to protect him.
I do.
You need to protect him as a parent.
No, I try my best. He loves it. I definitely do. I'm with
that
you.
That guy
on
right over there is my son.
Where is he? Which one?
Jordan,
there he is.
6'8", threw 95 miles an hour in high school.
And?
They hurt him. Oh.
Did he get to college at least?
When I was there, the maximum amount of pitches I'd let him throw was 65. When
wow.
I was out of town as the Texas Ranger pitching coach.
Yeah.
His mom would call me and say, he's at 110. I go, walk up there and get him out of the game.
Oh, wow.
That is wrong.
They would disrespect you like that? That's crazy.
As the pitching coach, we built our guys on only taking them up 10 to 12 pitches as we built them up to their pitch counts. And those 10 to 12 pitches as we built them up were usually not in the game where we're building them up, but in the bullpen.
Is it because there's less stress in the pen?
Yeah, there's way less stress in the pen because you can take your time between pitches.
Yeah.
If you want to work on a certain thing, you can. There's no ego in throwing a pitch in the bullpen compared to throwing the pitch in a inter-squad game in the big leagues or in an exhibition game or even in a real big league game.
Well, one thing that seems much more pronounced now, and I don't know if it's just because the broadcasters talk about it more, there's more information, I feel like more than ever that pitchers come back for a new season with a new pitch. Like they didn't use a slider, now they got a slider, now they got a sinker, now they got a splitty, now they got a circle change, whatever it might be.
Right.
And like back then, primarily two-pitch guys, like Guidry at the slider,
right.
Randy Johnson at the slider, Doc had the 12-6 deuce hammer with the fastball. Is it that easy to learn a new pitch?
Pat Leiter had the cutter.
Yes, Mariano cutter. Is it that easy to learn a new pitch in 2 months?
Well, what I don't like is the, when we talked about measurements,
yep.
This whole thing of going into the pitch, experimentation area where they're measuring things and saying, okay, now we're going to split your fingers, now we're going to do this. Immediately, that's a new stress on your elbow, on your hand, on your shoulder. And those new stresses will then lead to possible injury. I threw a split finger for one start.
Wow.
I could not figure out my changeup. I threw some split fingers in the bullpen. I said, those are working pretty good. I'm going to use that as my changeup today. I went to my catcher, Mike Socha, and I said, my changeup today is going to be a splitter. I struck out 7 guys with it in 5 innings, and after the 5th inning, I went to Mike and said, I'm not throwing that pitch anymore. He's like, why not? I go, my elbow is killing me.
Wow,
because
dude.
It's a new stress.
Yep.
And you take anything and spread your 2 fingers, any fingers you want to spread, you're immediately going to feel the tension go into your forearm.
Yep.
If the tension in your forearm is there, now your elbow and your ligaments are in trouble. And then once that goes, you're going to change the angle of your throw a little bit, and now you got a new stress on your shoulder. I like the pitching laboratory. I like that they can experiment. But once they experiment and they find it, they can't fall in love with the pitch in practice and in games too quickly. They've got to build it. So we see all the Asian pitchers, right? They come over, Korea, Japan. They all have the split. They've all been throwing it since they were 8 years old. Right?
Yeah.
They've been splitting their fingers and trying to have a relaxed forearm since they were a young man. We don't learn that in the U.S. of A, or maybe a little bit in Dominican. Dominican's more fastball slider. It's getting more splits now, but they have more of the changeup from like Pedro Martinez and different people. Venezuela, they're starting to get there, but they're more fastball slider. But in Japan, in Korea, they're coming over with split fingers since they were 8 years old, and their arms are ready for it.
BT and Sal on the Fan Talk and went baseball all-time great. Oral Hershiser had one of the great seasons of all time in 1988. you were far different from what you were in 88 to what you were in 99.
For sure.
So it shows me that it's not just a, well, he's got an ability thing. You were able to pitch and learn how to adjust to your older body. How'd you do that and still have success even, you know, 11 years later?
Well, it was nice to have Bobby Valentine as my manager because Bobby was a guy that would break all culture. You know, there was an outing where I got knocked out in 1 2/3 innings. And Bobby, we didn't have anybody on the staff. They were going to have to call somebody up or do it to start the next day. And I started the next day myself. I said, Bobby, I'll do it. I'm not ruining the staff. I'm almost 40 years old. In 99, I was 41 almost. Yeah, born in 58. So I'm 41 years old. I'm like, Bobby, big deal. I know I can do it. I don't care if I get hurt. I'm 41 years old. I'm not going to do this to the rest of these kids. And I went out and I threw like five innings and we won the game.
Bulldog.
But it wasn't Bulldog as much as just like, you know, you just do what you do when you love it.
You guys can't do it now at age 25.
It is mental. I never believed in putting a square peg into a round hole. But if you look across big leagues at my day, there was Jamie Moyer throwing 78 to 82 miles an hour, and then he would change speeds, and he would have a slow curveball. He'd pitch up, he'd pitch away. Okay, so that's the velocity. Then there's Dwight Gooden throwing almost 100, right? And Nolan Ryan and those guys. Okay,
yep.
They're both winning. So we know that it's not velocity now, right? Because 100 miles an hour is winning. And 72 miles an hour and 78 miles an hour is winning.
But the difference is, back then, you would get a chance to make a team, get signed late round. Now, if you're throwing 85, you're not getting drafted, Oral.
It's true.
You're just not getting drafted.
No. But then you think about, okay, is it movement? And then you see the movement, all right? You got
Greg
a good
Maddox.
Slider. Yeah, movement, and you got a slider, you got a good curveball, you got a good sinker, you got this. But there are guys with good movement that are getting beat, and there's guys with good movement are winning.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? What does it come down to? It comes down to location. And we know movement works because knuckleballs are thrown at 60 miles an hour and they move. They tell you it's not velocity and they tell you it is movement, but you do have a tough time throwing it for a strike. So I think as we move forward in pitching now, baseball has tested all the different philosophies of velocity, movement, change of speed, change of movement, all the different things have been tested, and now we have a health issue. I think we're going to get to where baseball finds one of those quotients, one of those things, and we're going to come back to pitching.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
That's awesome. Not going to be throwing.
I don't think you'll remember this. We're going to wrap it up soon. Great Oral Hershiser of BT and Sal on the Fan. I guess it was 99? Why am I forgetting the year? It may have been 99. Remember the All-Star Cafe in Manhattan? You remember that when you came in?
We lived at 79 and 2nd. 79 and 2nd.
So you're on the east side. But look, do you remember watching the Tyson Holyfield fight? When Tyson got bit, because I was at the table next to you.
You were.
It was called
you asked me for an autograph.
No. I said the Yankees are going to beat your ass is what I said.
No. You asked me for an autograph, and we didn't have selfies back then. But you wanted a picture, but you couldn't get it.
I'm always down to talk shop.
But I'm the wild card.
Yeah. All you guys were pounding beers. I think Manny may have been
there. What do you mean
there?
All us guys? I don't even drink.
Well, I mean, maybe you were.
It was lemonade.
All right, I got an actual question for you here.
I don't even know why I came on the show.
Because you're the great Oral Hershiser.
Oh, no.
88.
And there's my wife. Will you tell her about the great?
She asked
me to take the garbage out.
I said, I'm a Cy Young.
I don't take garbage out.
She looks happy. I'll give her that. She actually does. She looks happy.
He's married to Oral.
Woo! Doesn't hurt that you have a few bucks either there, big boy.
All right, I got something big below the waist. It's a wallet.
So two questions.
There we go.
I was going to ask you about that as far as your son. You sit back and watch. Does your son understand your dominance in 88, how you have one of the great seasons in the history of the sport?
My son is very, very smart, but he does not reveal how much he knows about my career until I hear him talking to other people and they ask him a question. But we don't talk around the house. We don't talk dinner. We don't sit and reminisce, and he quotes back games that he's been. But, he's super smart.
All right, 88, tougher lineup, tougher team to face, Mets or A's?
Mets or A's?
Good question.
Mets a lot harder.
A lot harder?
A lot harder. Oakland team had holes. Mets team was professional hitters. You know, Canseco and McGuire, for me, had slider speed bats because they came out of the American League and everybody tried to trick them. And I said, we're not throwing them a breaking ball for a strike, guys, unless we absolutely have to. I wouldn't throw them a breaking ball for a strike anytime. And I think I threw maybe one or two, but I almost tried to bounce them no matter what. I just felt like they had slider speed bats and they were always thinking we're going to trick them. And until they proved not, we wouldn't. But if I did that with Keith Hernandez, if I did that with Wally Backman, if I did that with,
Gary.
Gary or McReynolds. Or
Dykstra's still there. Yep.
Dykstra. Yep. I mean, anybody over there. I'm trying to think of the other Straw.
Straw
had holes. But Straw could still figure out a way to put the ball in play and hit it hard. But I would say the Mets were more professional hitters.
Interesting.
I threw four curveballs in the dirt to Dave Parker with Oakland. And he swung it all of
them. He was older at that point. Well, he was also 57 years old when you faced him there, Oral. Come on.
That's not very nice.
But that A's lineup was looked to be – that A's team –
Why don't you do the interview and just let him go?
Well, first you didn't want to sit next to him.
That's right.
Well, that was at the beginning, but he's calmed down now.
That A's team –
because he knows I'll bite back.
Yeah, exactly. That A's team was as – they were in the middle of, I want to say dynasty, but they were in the World Series 88, 89, 90. Obviously, you guys got them.
They were amazing.
Yeah, so they were a great team. And the
Bobby
Mets –
Welch, Dave Stewart.
Yeah,
all those
great pitching, obviously big lineup. And the Mets, we look at it as that year saying a missed opportunity. The Mets should have probably
Beat us 10 out of 11. We didn't have to play the 12th game because neither team needed it. It was a rainout. They dominated us. Davey Johnson did an amazing job with the leading that club. But, we lost game one on a blooper off of Jay Howell. Gary Carter blooped it into center field in the 88 National League playoffs. And then Tommy Lasorda the next day came into our locker room, walked through there, and he goes, let's go. If it was a one-game series, we'd all be going home and on vacation. But it's not. It's a seven-game series. And I don't care what they did in the regular season. He just started bellowing out Tommy Lasorda-isms everywhere.
Yeah.
And every other word probably had an F with it.
Yeah.
And it was just – he just believed in us and kept pushing us. And we had crazy guys like Steve Sachs and Mickey Hatcher and Kirk Gibson and Mike Socia that, they didn't care either about yesterday.
Yeah.
They just went out and tried to do it again. And, Soch was huge in that series.
Yeah,
he hit the
home run
off of Doc Gooden. Gibby is starting to be hurt, and because they forced us to play in sleet because of the TV schedule, and Gibby went out in left field and made a catch for me. in my start where he probably pulled both hamstrings.
Was that a day
catch.
Game? Was that a day game?
Yeah.
I remember that catch.
Yeah. Yep.
He was like sliding and tripping.
Sliding.
I remember that. Is that the game that Mickey Hatcher scored a run, like where he had no business scoring?
Yeah.
He basically crawled to home plate. The Mets were better than you guys that year.
Oh, way
they
better.
They were much better.
It was not even close. Way better. I got one quick story. I know you guys got to go to break, but the quick story is Mickey Hatcher should have been the co-MVP of the 80 World Series. We go to Mickey Mantle's restaurant in New York.
We're at Central Park.
Right before the series starts, and he is told before we beat the Mets, he goes to Mickey Mantle's table, and Mickey Mantle goes, "You can't be named Mickey and not hit home runs." Now, Hatcher hit like one or two home runs the whole season.
Uh-huh.
He hit two in the World Series.
That's a good
Mickey
story.
Mickey Mantle said, "You can't be named Mickey and not hit runs." Patch hit home run on a hit and run.
On a hit and run?
A hit and run where he's supposed to be hitting a line drive or a ground ball to right while Sachs is running.
Yeah.
He hits a home run to left. He's running around the bases like this. You know, he's waving his arm. He's doing it, you know, he's doing Gibson on steroids.
Who else was at Mantle's table? Was Yogi there? Do you remember anybody big or no?
No, I don't, you know, I don't remember all those celebrities like you.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't try and go to their table like you.
Yeah, all right, take it easy, buddy.
All right, Oral, we appreciate the time. A legendary season in 88, even though it broke my heart as a Met fan. I still love it to this day. You're
if it
a bulldog.
Was a book, you need to turn a page.
Yeah, well, I can't. It'd be nice if the Mets won one since, but they haven't. It's been 86. But we did appreciate you in 1999. We appreciate your time. The great Oral Hirsch.
Yeah, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
You see it's out on the fan.
Great.
ETSL back on the fan live here at the Javits Center at Fanatics Fest. It's been a crazy day so far. What time is it? 2 hours already?
Yeah.
How about that? Been a wild 2 hours. 888-808-1019, the number to call. We'll get back to those calls here. Obviously, had a couple of guests. Pat Leonard of the Daily News talking some Giants, which was a nice change of pace, BT, as we start to get, you know, we're going to transition at some point into the football teams here, as before you know it, preseason will be here, and we'll be talking Jets and Giants. Obviously, in the midst of the baseball season, we had Oral Hershiser, who for us, like, that's a wheelhouse type guest, having Oral Hershiser on the show.
Boy, did he loosen up or what?
He was great.
I know he was always, I've read some books where he's, you know, kind of, you know, some old Dodger stories or just old baseball tales. Oral, I knew he's a jokester, a prankster. Like, so he's coming up here doing the choir boy act. I'm like, all right,
Come on.
It 5 minutes. He's going to start loosening up, and he'll give us the real Oral. He was great.
I did not know that about him, but I was a fan of his in 1999. He was terrific with the Mets. And how can you not, even though he crushed me in 88?
Yep.
Dude, it's one of the all-time great seasons. Oral Hershiser, what, the guy's a legend?
I remember, now
I
again.
I should have gotten something signed by him. He was joking around about you. I would have taken a ball signed by
him. That's true. That's an all-timer. Mm. So you were, what, 8 during the 88 season?
No, I was 9 years old.
Okay. I mean, so you're really starting to get into it at that point. To me, you know, I'm, I guess at that point I'm about 14, 15. So I had already known, like, the Don Drysdale name. Like, every time Oral pitched, Don Drysdale. And, you know, Oral Hershiser was a very interesting pitcher. If you look at some of the great pitchers in baseball history, Randy Johnson, intimidating. Pedro.
Yeah.
You know, when he's coming 99 under your chin, then that sick changeup. Intimidating. Dwight Gooden, young. Intimidating. Roger Clemens, beast, intimidating. Oral Hershiser looked like he could come and pick up, you know, drop the mail off.
Right.
But he was a scrappy all-timer. Really, really just a great pitcher.
All right, let's get some of the calls in, BT, that have been holding for a while here. BT and Sal on the fan. Ray is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
Hello, Ray.
Hi, guys. Great show as usual, especially today. Super interviews today, guys.
Nice. Thank you.
On the Mets, what the killer was Senga getting hurt when he did, because Holmes hit a brick wall. So, you know what? We're not even going to get 5 innings out of him. You could tell he's tired. 6 walks, and then we got Blackburn. He doesn't belong on the team either as a reliever or as a starter. You know what? I'll take a chance on somebody like Blake Tinwell, somebody that you know there might be a good upside than somebody the journeyman reach read. You know what I mean, guys? But you know what? We can win 2 out of 3 this weekend.
Sure.
That fixes a lot of things.
Listen, if the Mets come out, good call, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's the way you have to look at it. I don't know that anybody, even as much as Sal's pissed off losing to the Braves, nobody's projecting this fatalistic, oh my God, the Mets are awful. The Mets are going to find a way to rebound here. Now, they're going to have to navigate this patch, because I think what's problematic, and this is the first thing I said really at 10 o'clock to start the show, Like, whereas the Yankees' offense went quiet, but the pitching was still pretty good. During this malaise for the Mets, the starting pitching, not that good. Bullpen, not that good. Hitting, not that good. So it always seems amplified and far worse when all three components aren't clicking at the same time, but that's why 162 games are played.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. They could take two out of three from the Phillies and still be in control of the division. It doesn't eliminate the fact that the Braves own them. And that's a problem to me. When you want to be taken seriously within their own division, you can't be getting dominated as consistently as they have by that one team. That is an inherent problem. It wasn't a problem last year as far as the results of the season goes. Hey, it may not be a problem this year as far as the results of the season goes. The Braves are so far buried back right now. They swept the Mets. Guess what? They're still 10 back.
Yep.
And unless they sweep the Mets next weekend in the four-game series, they're really not going to close ground anytime soon on the Mets. Well, I expect to start playing some better baseball at some point. But if you want to be taken seriously, and that's where my grading curve is with the Mets, like this is it's progressive steps here in being a legitimate top-tier team. The Yankees, the Dodgers, the Braves have dominated Major League Baseball in the regular season for a long time consistently. The Mets haven't done that. How do you do that if you can't get past the giant in your division in the Atlanta Braves? They haven't won a division in 10 years.
I don't think this is anything new to being a fan. I mean, from a Jets perspective, the Patriots beat everybody, so that's probably not a great example. But, all right, I mean, can we break through and be better than the Patriots? And before that, back in the day when I was growing up, can they break through and be better than Dan Marino and the Dolphins? And then a little Jim Kelly with the Bills during their run. And then the Knicks, whether it's the Celtics or now the Pacers or whatever. There's always that team that is kind of in your way. So I get it. But big picture, I still do think the Mets will be fine.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Reset down with the King topic of the day. Right now, an update. Here's Andrew Bogut.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.